Great to be with you all on this Sunday. I must say that I'm actually a bit nervous because we are live streaming our morning service. And it's been a while since I've preached live, even though there are not that many people in the sanctuary, just a few. But I've been so used to having a camera right in front of me and recording the last 10 months. So this is definitely a newer experience or something that I have to get back used to. So bear with me. You know, as you know, we have been joining with our U.S. Alliance family going through 40 days of prayer. And I hope that you've been able to dig deeper into God's Word, read and reflect on the devotionals, and follow the prayer points each day. Can you believe that we are actually more than halfway through? Like Pastor Ted mentioned earlier, we are on day 22, and we will move into week 4 this upcoming week. And I hope that you've been blessed, and we'll continue to pray together through each week's themes. Actually, I've really appreciated how each week's theme has progressed from the previous week and how they relate and build upon each other. As you'll recall, week 1, we talked about the holiness of God and some of his eternal attributes. We began by being reminded of who our God is and how awesome he is. And we looked at a passage from Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw a vision of the Lord seated high and in all his splendor and awesomeness. But then he realized his own unholiness and how he was a man of unclean lips. But God didn't leave Isaiah hanging, and instead a seraphim flew over and touched Isaiah's lips with a hot burning coal and cleansed him from his uncleanliness, and his sins were atoned for. And because of this encounter with a holy God, Isaiah's life was transformed, and he was able to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Now, last week, week 2, Pastor Ted spoke on repentance. And because of God's holiness, we can only respond in repentance when we look within. Confession certainly plays a part at the core of repentance, but really, it's about change. Changing course. If there's no change, there's really no repentance. And Pastor Ted took us through some verses in Revelation 2 and 3 and letters to the seven churches. Repenting of our unrighteousness. Have we abandoned our first love to Jesus? Of our unfaithfulness? Have we broken our covenant relationship with the Lord? Of our vanity? Are we looking good only on the outside and being more concerned what other people think of us and our reputation, but having no substance inside? Repenting of our worldliness. Have we been so comfortable living in our world, especially living in Silicon Valley, that we have lost our true purpose as individuals, as believers in him, and as a church? So the question that we left you with was, what do you need to turn away from? And this past week, if you've been following with the devotionals, we have been focused on spirit empowerment, or the fullness of the Spirit. You know, only when we are repentant, only when we change, only when we turn away from our sins, can the Holy Spirit fill us and empower us for his purposes. You know, from the video that we just saw, we were reminded that being filled with the Spirit without a fruit-bearing life is incomplete. And living a fruit-bearing, discerning life that pleases the Lord is impossible without being Spirit-filled. You know, as believers, we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But perhaps the real question becomes, how much does the Holy Spirit have of you and of me? In other words, are we seeking the fullness of the Spirit, daily surrendering to him and having him fill us so that we can bear fruit and live a Spirit-filled life? You know, as I was going through the devotions this week, the Lord kept bringing two words to my mind. They are surrendered and full. Surrendered to Jesus, yielded to the Holy Spirit. Full, not of myself, but of the Holy Spirit's presence, power, and work in my life. Now, the first word, surrendered. Now, when I think of the word surrendered, I immediately think of war scenes, a white flag, soldiers dropping their guns and holding up their arms in surrender. And a side note, maybe that's because my kids always listen to Focus on the Family's Adventures in Odyssey. And recently in the van, we've been listening to the story about Sergeant Alvin C. York, a real story from World War I, where this Christian soldier took command and captured 132 German soldiers all by himself. The Germans basically surrendered. They basically threw down their weapons and surrendered and followed the sergeant back to the U.S. Army. But seriously, who wants to surrender? Surrendering is a sign of weakness. Being on the losing side, like for the Germans, they surrendered. No one wants to lose, right? We all want to win. You know, how many of us growing up were taught to surrender? I wasn't. How many of you parents are teaching your kids the value of surrendering? Probably not, right? I'm certainly not. We want to instill within our next generation a winning attitude, to work hard, to be competitive, to win, to be number one, right? At least that's what the world teaches us. But when it comes to surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it's completely opposite. It's not a sign of weakness. In fact, it's actually a sign of obedience, and it's actually a sign of letting go and letting God take control. You know, I've heard that it's really easy to accept Jesus as our Savior, because then we have fire insurance, right? We won't go to hell. But it's actually much harder to accept him as our Lord. It's actually much harder to say, Jesus, take control. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I depend on you and allow you to have daily reign. Holy Spirit, allow you to have daily control over my thoughts, over my emotions, over my perspectives. And I want to quickly turn to our first scriptural reference today, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. It's a short verse. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Keeping in step with the Spirit means exactly just that, walking in line with the Spirit of the Lord, not going ahead, not lagging behind, not turning to the right when God says turn to the left, or vice versa, walking in step with the Spirit, being so in tune with him that the two of you are always together, joined at the hip. Now, in one of the devotionals this week, our good friend Kelvin Walker, who, as you remember, was our Deeper Life Conference speaker last year, right before we went into Shelter in Place. Remember that time? It was awesome, right? But in his devotional, he said, it's challenging because keeping in step with the Spirit requires surrender. No one likes that word. To me, it means giving up control. And I don't like to be controlled by anyone. That's Kelvin. But I'm sure most of us, we don't like to be controlled by anyone either. You know, all week long, I've been thinking about this concept of control. It's so true. I don't like to be controlled by anyone. As I was a kid growing up, I disliked being controlled by my mother, right? I want to be in control. Instead, I don't want to be in control. I want to be in control of the outcome. I want to be in control of my future. I want to be in control of my kids. I want to be in control of Cheryl. Don't wear that. That doesn't look very good on you. I want to be controlled of other people, right? I want to be in control of my own image, of my emotions, of where I'm going, my destination, right? And I guess as I was thinking about this control concept, I was also thinking about driving, right? You know, as a kid, I trusted my mom to drive me wherever she took me, right? I didn't know any better. I just sat in the car and she drove me, right? I trusted her. But then as I grew older, you know, I didn't take driver's ed. She actually taught me how to drive. But after I started driving, I kind of didn't trust her driving skills anymore. Every time I got in the car, I was like, no, mom, I'll drive. Let me get the keys. I will drive. I didn't trust her. And now we've always heard of the term backseat driver, right? We've always heard about, oh, don't be a backseat driver. But brothers and sisters, so many of us actually invite God. We sometimes surrender. We sometimes say, God, here are the keys. Why don't you take control and drive my life? But yet we're a backseat driver, right? We say, no, 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 I don't want to go that way. I want to go here. No, 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 I think you made the wrong turn, God. The destination was back there. We're so easily backseat drivers because we want control. We want to go where we think we should be headed. And the other thing I was thinking about this week was contrasting the driving example to flying on an airplane. Now, some of you know that pre-COVID, I like to fly on planes. You know, I like to go on commercial airlines, but I have no idea how to fly one, right? I just get on board, I look out the window, I watch movies, I relax, I eat food, and I completely trust the pilot, right? I don't even know the pilot. I've not met him or her. I don't even know what he or she looks like. But how can I trust someone that I don't know to fly this big aircraft and think that he or she will get me to that destination? Well, I trust the pilot because I trust that he or she knows how to fly this plane and that he or she is following the coordinates to get to that destination. So, because I trust the pilot, I can relax, I can sleep, I can listen to music, I can keep the kids in line after we've had all three. But if we can trust an airline pilot who we haven't met before or even known, how come we cannot trust the Holy Spirit and be in step with him? Why is it so difficult to trust the Lord, to say, God, I give you complete surrender, I give you complete control, here are the keys to my car, drive this airplane? Why is it that sometimes we question? Why is it that sometimes we doubt? Why is it that sometimes we just don't feel like trusting him anymore? But he's the one, the Holy Spirit is the one that Jesus promised that would come alongside of us to be our helper, to be our counselor, to be our comforter, the one to teach us, to guide us and lead us into all truth. Why is it that we have such a hard time surrendering, giving up control of our lives, of our kids' lives, of our wants, of our wishes, to a Holy Spirit who is gentle, to a Holy Spirit who is loving, to a Holy Spirit who desires to fill us, to empower us, to refresh us, and to renew us each day? If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What does keeping in step with the Spirit look for you today, my brothers and sisters? The second word that I want to ponder on with you is the word full. Now, I'm not talking about the physically full kind, although as a side, Cheryl did make a delicious oxtail soup yesterday and a yummy sticky rice dish, and I was absolutely full, okay? But that's not what the full I'm talking about. I'm talking about, what have you been filling your life with during this season? What are you full of? Are you full of yourself? Am I full of myself? Am I full of my pride, my own wants, my own desires? Am I full of work, my own busyness, my schedule? Full of social media? Full of the media? Full of current events? Following this, following that? Which news to believe in, right? The events of the last week, the inauguration, the election? Full of video games? Screen time? Full of our kids, our family? Now again, these are not bad things. These are actually good things. Some of these are actually God's blessings to us. But what are we filling, consciously filling ourselves with each day? You know, before we can ask the Spirit of the Lord to descend upon us and to fill us, we need to empty ourselves of some of the stuff that shouldn't be in us, some of the junk, some of our bad habits, some of our brokenness, right? Some of the things that have been dragging us down, that have really been depressing us. We need to be emptied of that before we can be full of Jesus and his Spirit. The second scripture passage that I want to touch upon is Ephesians 5:18. It says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, Paul is basically saying, just as the drunkard is under the influence of alcohol, so a Spirit-filled believer should be under the influence of the Holy Spirit himself. We should be under the influence all the time. You know, it's okay. arrest me. I'm under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I don't mind. I don't mind getting a DUI. I'm driving under the Holy Spirit's influence. That's what our goal should be. But a lot of times, we want to be in control. We want to be under my influence. We want to be under maybe our parents' influence. But we don't want to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to have control over my thoughts, over my actions, just like alcohol controls the thoughts and actions of a drunkard. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means that I need to empty myself of myself and to allow His Spirit to pour into me and to fill me. Not just on a one-time occasion. I know some of you may be thinking, well, I did that. I did that back at my retreat or a youth camp or whatever. Or I did that years ago. I surrendered my life. You know, I asked the Holy Spirit to fill me. That's great. But what I'm talking about is not just a one-time deal, but a constant, daily, intentional asking. Right, the command in Ephesians 5:18 is be filled with the Spirit, not just once, but be continually filled. Filled meaning being full to the top, lacking nothing short of complete, even overflowing. The verb that is being used is this active tense, indicating that this is a constant action. Literally, a go on. Keep on being filled with the Spirit, not just a one-time deal. And no wonder sometimes in our Christian walks, we sometimes feel so weak. No wonder we're sometimes depressed. No wonder we're sometimes stuck in a rut. It's because we've forgotten to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us that day. It's because we have not yielded to Him. It's because we have not said, God, empty me of my own wants, my own power, my own attitudes, and clothe me with your thoughts. Clothe me, Holy Spirit, with your power. Clothe me, Jesus, with your love. To respond in love to this person who may have made an inappropriate comment, either in word or on paper or on the internet. How do I respond with the Spirit of the living God living in me? How do I live each moment, each day, by being under the influence of the Spirit of the living God? That's really the challenge today, is what are you full of? I know a lot of times I'm full of myself. I think very well of me. You know, I'm proudful. That's wrong. I need to be emptied of myself. I need to be emptied of my pride, emptied of my ambition, and say, God, take over. Lord Jesus, come. I surrender, I submit, I yield. And we can yield and trust Him to have control because He's the loving Abba Father. He's the one that wants to fill us with His dear and precious Spirit, to empower us, to give us wisdom, to give us direction, to give us understanding, and to give us the strength and the courage and the love for each situation that you and I may be faced with during this season. I know it's been a long 10 months. We haven't been able to gather together in person in this sanctuary or at Mountain View Academy for New Vine. For some of us, it's actually been a pretty difficult season. Maybe it started off kind of nice working from home, but then you realize, oh my goodness, I'm working from home with my whole family. I've got these little ones running around and I have to take care of them. I have to do online schooling. And over the last few months, I've personally heard of a lot more things that have been coming up with some of you, a lot of challenges, a lot of things that the Lord is doing, that the Lord is working, family issues, husband and wife things, behavioral concerns with our kids, isolation, just a lot of tiredness. And I just want you to know that I hear you. I understand. But this is exactly where God is leading us through. Perhaps a realization that we cannot do it anymore on my own strength. I cannot take care of three little ones and their education on my own strength. I cannot teach them on my own strength. I cannot yell and scream at them on my own strength. I give up. Jesus, come, Holy Spirit. I yield to you. I surrender to you. What is it, my brothers and sisters, that the Lord is asking you to yield, to wave the white flag, to say, God, I'm tired. God, I need you. What is it that God is asking you to come to the end of yourself? Are you willing to surrender? He's able. He's willing. He wants to fill you with his peace, his love, his power. Whatever situation you are going through, the Lord is here. The Lord is near. Being in step with the Spirit, trusting him to be your driver, trusting him to be your pilot, really saying, God, take over. That's our prayer for you today, that you would allow the manifest presence, the Holy Spirit, that you would welcome him into your home today, that you would welcome him into your life, that you would say, Lord, I submit to you. Surrender. Would you please come? Take over. What are you full of today? Maybe you need to spend some time with the Lord, asking him to empty you of yourself, your pride, of your ambition, of all the things that are holding you back to living a Spirit-filled life with Jesus. Asking for his continuous filling every day. Saying, Lord, every day. How many of you woke up this morning and the first thing you asked was, Holy Spirit, come fill me? Or were you thinking about what you had to do today? We need Jesus. We need his Spirit. We need his power. So brothers and sisters, I want to invite you during this time to ask the Spirit of the Lord to come. If the Lord would speak to your hearts, I just want to invite the worship team to come up as we prepare to close our service. But I want to take a few minutes and ask you to surrender to the Lord. Whatever it is that you've been holding back, whatever it is that you have held on to and not yielded to him, to lay it all on the altar, to surrender it to him, and to empty yourself of whatever it is, and that you would be yielded, that you would be continuing to walk in step with the Spirit, but that you would continue to be asking for the Spirit's filling in your life every day, in your family every day, in your home every day. That it wouldn't be a one-time thing that was done in the past, even last week or even yesterday, that it would be a daily occurrence, that you would say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me now. So I want to invite you, even where you are, in your homes, on your sofa, on your chair, in your bedroom, spend some time asking the Lord. Surrender to him. The sweet presence of the Holy Spirit to come and fill you now. Gesture of our surrender to him, I want to invite you to just stretch out your hands in complete surrender. God, we come before you today. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to draw near to you, to know you as a holy God, but to also to recognize our own sinfulness. But God, we thank you, Lord, that we can submit, we can surrender, we can give you everything that we have been holding on to. Our sins, our bad habits, our bad attitudes. God, whatever it is, Lord, we surrender our control over to you. And Holy Spirit, as we surrender to you, would you come? Would you come anew? Would you come afresh? Spirit of the living God, would you fall upon us? Would you come into our homes, into our families? God, we need you. Would you fill us once again? Lord, for some of us, we've never encountered your touch. God, would you be merciful and gracious and touch us now? God, would you come and minister to us like only you can? Would your sweet spirit come and breathe life into those areas that are dead? Would you bring your revival into those places that are tired, that are worn? Would you speak your healing touch and power upon those of us who are sick, upon those of us that have marital issues, upon those of us that are stressed out about how our kids are on the screen all the time, how our kids are just cooped up at home? Father, would you come? Holy Spirit, come. Bring us your peace. Bring us your joy. Bring us, Lord, your perspective. Help us, God, to see that in you there is life. Help us, Lord, to see that in you there is a stream of living water that is flowing out of us if only we ask, if only we are willing. So, Jesus, would you come, would you pour out your spirit upon us today? Lord, help us to see and hope in you that, God, we know, Lord, that you have not left us. We know, God, that you are working in our circumstances. You are working in our trials. You are working in our struggles. And, Jesus, we ask that you would help us to lift our eyes up to heavenward to see, Lord, what you are doing in our lives and how it is, Lord, that you want us to respond in obedience to you today. Father, come and speak to us now. We ask all of these things in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
I invite you to just stand as we respond in this song. We sing this as a prayer together, that the Lord would just send his spirit on us. Like a river.
He's like a river, wash over me. Immerse me in water as deep as the sea. Hide me in love. Like a river, wash over me as I worship your majesty. I worship your holy name, Jesus, my everything. All that. Come, Holy Spirit, rain down on me.
Open the heavens.
We love you. Jesus, as we worship your majesty, we surrender to you. We say, Jesus, come, have your way. Holy Spirit, would you come and continue to fill us today? Fill us with your presence, fill us with your power, fill us, God, with more of you so that we can face today, so that we can face tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus, that you have promised that you will never leave nor forsake us because we have the Holy Spirit in us. So, Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Would you work, Lord, continue to work in each and every one of our lives. Continue to work in your church, Lord. We pray, God, that revival would come. Lord, that you would do it again. Lord, that revival would come in our own lives first. Revival would come in your church, God. Father, that you would come, that you would stir our hearts, that you would stir within us a deeper hunger, a deeper desire for you this year, that you would stir within us a deeper desire to be intimate with Jesus, to be in your presence each day. God, that you would stir within us a desire, Lord, to pray more, Lord, to pray unceasingly, God, that we would be a people full of your love. We would be a people full of your power. Jesus, we submit to you. And we say thank you, Lord, because you are with us, that you are Emmanuel, that you are God with us. Jesus, we thank you for your sweet presence. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather in your name to worship you today. And we ask, God, that you would go before us now as we go from here. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. It's in your name that we pray.